Today's daf is daf Samachay, and just to recall where we were up to in Samach Dalid. Yes, our learning this morning is dedicated to the neshama of Avram Binyamin Benish, Ben Rabbi Yisrael Arya Cohen. So the last thing we had learned was that the term death doesn't always mean death. There are four things that are dead man walking: a person with no children, a person who's blind, a person who's a mitzora, or a person who becomes indigent. And that's why when Hashem tells Moshe, you can go back to Egypt, for all the people who wanted to kill you have died, and it's not true because Dasam Naviram are around to cause problems for Moshe with Korach and with Aman and all sorts of trouble. But what it means is that they became poor. Now, if it means that they became poor, God is not being Matir Neder by means of Nolad, by means of a new reality. Because poverty is not a new reality. Poverty is really a current reality. Even a person who's rich now, okay, maybe he'll stay rich, but there's no guarantees that he'll stay rich. It's very prevalent that the wheel of fortune turns, and a person who's rich today, unfortunately, is not rich tomorrow. So when Hashem tells Moshe, you made an oath to stay with Yisro and Midian, well, that oath was because of the people who wanted to kill you. Those people are poor. And basically what Hashem is telling him, had you realized at the time that you made the oath that they would become poor, and their becoming poor is already sort of baked into the cake now when they are rich, that it's expected for them to be poor, you know that they're going to be poor, would you have made the oath? Moshe's saying, of course I wouldn't have made the oath then. I didn't think of it. I didn't think of the reality that now they're rich, but really they're not really rich. Really, poverty is so likely and prevalent. So therefore, it was an oath somewhat mistaken, and that's the nature of Pesach, that there is a degree of mistake here because a person wasn't thinking about all the realities when he made the oath. Therefore, a great sage could remove the oath. In this instance, it's the Almighty Himself who's removing the oath. That's what we had learned yesterday at the end of the daf, where the Gemara discussed Hashem's removing the oath that Moshe had made. Now, Moshe had made this oath to Yisro in Midian. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Hamudar hana mechaveiro. If there is a situation where I get angry at somebody, see, I get angry at Yaakov, and I tell Yaakov, I'm so upset with you, that as a result, I'm not allowing you to get any benefit from me. My property is prohibited to you, you can't walk into my home, you can't be a guest, you can't share my food, you can't get any benefit from me. If I now feel bad about it, and I want this neder to be removed, I need to do it with Yaakov there. For that neder to be removed, we need Yaakov to be there. And that's the case here. Moshe Rabbeinu had made a vow to Yisro that he wouldn't take the family back to Egypt because he was a fugitive in Egypt. In Egypt, they wanted to kill him. So for that vow to be removed, he would have to go to Yisro and in front of Yisro have the vow removed. Minani mili, how do we know that the person who was the cause for the neder hana has to be there when the neder of benefit is removed? So Amar Rav Nachman, said, look carefully at this pasuk, because it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe b'Midyan. Hashem told Moshe, in Midyan, Lech shuv Mitzrayim, go return to Egypt. Kimesu kol anashim vakshim es nafshecha. For all those people who are seeking to kill you have become poor. So, why does the verse stress that Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bim Midyan? Hashem told Moshe in Midyan. So basically, what that means is Amar lo. Hashem is telling him bim Midyan nadar talacha. In Midyan, you made your neder. V'hater nidrucha bim Midyan. You should remove your neder in Midyan as well. Now, where do we see in the pasuk that Moshe made a neder not to return to Egypt? Because the pasuk says, "Vayoel Moshe lo sheves esayish," and Moshe was yoel to live with the man. What does vayoel mean? In Allah ela shvua. Allah means an oath. Siv vayavo ito ba'Allah, and he came with him into an Allah, into an oath. Vayoel, exactly. Vayoel is from the word Allah, and it means that Moshe took an oath to stay with Yisro and not to leave Midyan. So vayomer Hashem el Moshe b'Midyan. Hashem tells Moshe, in Midyan, you have to go in front of Yisro, and there, in front of Yisro, remove the oath.
How long Moshe was in Midyan?
How long was he there for? I think for 40 years, if not 60 years.
Yeah.
For a long time. Now, another example of an oath, and how important it is to keep this halacha of removing an oath only in the presence of the person who was the trigger of the oath, was from King Tzidkiyahu. Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the land of Israel in the days of Yehoyakim, really. He conquered Israel in the days of Yehoyakim. He exiles Yehoyakim. He then came back 11 years later and exiled Tzidkiyahu. Initially, Nebuchadnezzar had left Tzidkiyahu as the king of the Jews, just paying a tribute to Nebuchadnezzar, just not being independent. Tzidkiyahu rebelled. So now the Gemara is going to give us a little bit of the backstory. The backstory is that Nebuchadnezzar was an extremely cruel man. And he used to eat live rabbit. Take a rabbit and eat it. It was alive and he would eat the pieces. So Tzidkiyahu once saw this and he saw what a cruel thing. So Nebuchadnezzar said, "Don't you dare tell anybody about what I'm doing." So Tzidkiyahu swore, took a neder, he would never reveal what he knows about Nebuchadnezzar. Then when Tzidkiyahu was king and he was paying tribute to Nebuchadnezzar and he wanted to get the Jews to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar, he went and he was Matir Neder. And once he was Matir Neder, he told everybody, "You know who we're paying tribute to? We're paying tribute to a ruler who eats a live rabbit." So Nebuchadnezzar heard about this. He didn't do it in front of him. He got very upset. And he came and he destroyed a lot. And he was very upset. And the Gemara says he was very upset that the rabbis who were matir the neder didn't keep to the law that when you are taking off a neder that impacts somebody, you could only do it in the presence of that person. And here they took off the neder of Tzidkiyahu, even though Nebuchadnezzar wasn't there. So that's what the Gemara says. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down in Samach Hamad Aleph. V'gam b'melech Nebuchadnezzar marad, and also against King Nebuchadnezzar he rebelled. Asher ishbio be'elokim chayim, who had made him swear by the living God. Maimar duse. What was the rebellion of Tzidkiyahu? Tzidkiyahu met Nebuchadnezzar, who was eating a live rabbit. Amalei, and Nebuchadnezzar told him, "Ishtabli de lo magasi lui. You have to swear to me that you will not reveal this. V'lo tepuk milsa. So that this matter, not this word, not go out, not get known." Ishtaba, so he swore. L'sof, havakam etzdar tzidkiyo begufe. Tzidkiyo was very pained by this matter, because he wanted to reveal to people that Nebuchadnezzar ate a live rabbit in order to stir up a rebellion, that people should hate him. So Itchel Ashvu Aseh, so he went to sages to ask about the oath, to have it removed. Once that happened, Va'amar, he then told people about what Nebuchadnezzar did. Shama Nebuchadnezzar to come of Azimlei. Nebuchadnezzar heard that people are disparaging him. They're making fun of him in Judea, that he's the one who eats the rabbits. Shalach, so he sent Va'aisi Sanhedrin with Tzidkiyahu, and he brought the Sanhedrin and Tzidkiyahu. Amalahon, he said to them, I think my covenant Tzidkiyahu, do you see what Tzidkiyahu did? Lav hachi. Hava. Dishtaba bishma dishmaya. Deloma glina. Wasn't it the case that he swore by the name of God that he's not going to reveal these things? Amar lei. So Tzidkiyahu said, Ichlash v'asa. I removed the oath by going to the Sanhedrin. Amar lei. Machlin achvuasa. So Nebuchadnezzar said to them, you can remove an oath? Then what's the point of an oath? No guarantee. Amri lei. So the Sanhedrin said, yeah, you can remove the oath. Oaths can be removed. Amalahu, so then Nebuchadnezzar said, Amalahu, Befanavo, Afilu Shalob Befanav. Here a man made a commitment to me, and now he did it with an oath. Now he wanted to remove the oath. Don't I have to be there when that commitment gets removed? Amalahu, they said, you're right, Befanav. It's supposed to be in front of you. So Amalahu, so he said to them, Ba'atun and you, Mayavdisun. What'd you do? My time alo amritun, the Tzidkiyahu. Why didn't you tell Tzidkiyahu that he needs to wait until I come, and he can only take off the oath if I'm there and I get a chance to present my point of view? So basically, as the commentators explain, Nebuchadnezzar is saying to the Sanhedrin, I understand, you were afraid of Tzidkiyahu, so you distorted the law, carried out an injustice. Yad Yeshvu L'aretz Yidmu Zikni Bas Tzion. So immediately Nebuchadnezzar humiliated the Sanhedrin, and he made them sit on the ground and be silent, the elders of Zion. Amar Rav Yitzchak Sheshamtu Karmi Tachteihem. They pulled the pillows from underneath them, and they have them on the ground.
So Rabbi, wouldn't they be more afraid of Nebuchadnezzar than Tzidkiyahu?
That's what they should have been thinking. That's what they should have been thinking, but they didn't, unfortunately.
Huh. Does it require the consent of the third party to...
I don't know if it requires the consent, but he has to be there and at least get a chance to say his opinion.
But it didn't have to be the whole Sanhedrin. It could have just been one member,
apparently, right? It was the whole Sanhedrin that had removed it.
Rabbi, this wasn't a promise more than a neder here. I promise.
He said he took a shvua. He took an oath. Took an oath. Next Mishnah, again, we're dealing with the concept of Pesach. Rabbi Meir taught, Yesh Dvarim Shehein Kinolad, Vein on Kinolad. There are certain things that seemingly are new realities, like we discussed yesterday and on the WhatsApp. Poverty is a seemingly new reality, but it's not really a new reality. It's really treated like a current reality. But the sages don't agree to Rabbi Meir. Therefore, okay, so what's the argument between the sages and the Rabbi Meir? The following. Amar konam shani nose esplonis. The fellow says, I'm making with the status of a karban this woman, she's prohibited to me. Why? I won't marry her. Shavi hara. Because her father is a bad guy. Amrulo, then they tell him, Mace. He died, though. Osh asa tshuva. Or he's no longer a bad guy. He grew a big beard, and he's got payas, and he's sitting and learning in kolol all day. He's a great guy. He did tshuva. He repented. So, is it a new reality? Yeah, it's a new reality. At the time of the neder, he was a Rasha. But, it's not really a new reality. Because when he made the neder, he said, I'm making the neder because he's a Rasha,
yeah.
Which means if he's not a Rasha, then for that the neder never was made. So once he's not a Rasha, the neder wasn't made for that. It is a new reality of him being a tzaddik, but because when he made the neder, he spelled it out. I'm making this neder because this man is a Rasha, so he's saying... Basically saying explicitly, and if he wouldn't be a Rasha, there wouldn't be a neder. So now that he's not a Rasha, being a Rasha is part of the neder. Amrulo, okay, next case. Konam lebaya says, "Ani nichnas a neder on this house. I'm not walking into it." Shakelav rabis socho, because there's a really nasty dog in the house. Or there's a snake in it. They tell him, the dog died or the snake was killed. So it looks like a new reality. But it's not treated like a new reality. That is something which can remove the neder. Because the neder was made dependent on this. And since this isn't the case, so there is no neder. However, in Chacham Modum, the sages do not agree to Rabbi Meir. They think this is considered Pesach. And since this is considered Pesach, you could not remove... I'm sorry, this is Nolad. You couldn't make a Pesach with this. You can't remove a Neder by means of a new reality that comes about.
So, but Rabbi, if the dog dies, doesn't it absolve the Neder?
That's the argument. According to Rabbi Meir, you could remove it. According to the sages, you couldn't. Says the Gemara, Konam, right? These cases, Konam Shani Nechnas Labayis, because of I'm not going to walk into the house because of the dog, or I'm not going to get married because of the father-in-law. So the Gemara asks, Mace, if the dog dies, if the father-in-law dies, no, Ludhu, that's a new reality. That is a new reality. So I'm Rav Huna explained, Nasa Ketola Nidro Bedavar. Now listen to what he said. He said, I'm not going to marry her because her father's bad. That's like he's saying, the condition here is, or the reason, the father's bad, and that's why I don't want such a father-in-law. He's really making it dependent. Oh, welcome, please join us. Dependent on the nature of the father-in-law. So, now that the father-in-law is dead, he's not going to have any problems with the father-in-law. It's not his neder. His neder wasn't, I'm not marrying her. His neder was, I don't want to have a bad father-in-law. A neder, I'm not getting into a bad father-in-law situation. Well, there is no bad father-in-law, because he's dead. So it's like a person saying a condition and the condition not being fulfilled. It's like someone saying, I'm not marrying a woman who has blemishes. She has blemishes and he's not married to her. He's saying, I'm not having a father-in-law who's got a temper. I don't want to deal with it. Okay, but you don't have to deal with it. He's dead. So that's not considered Nola. However, Rabbi Yochanan explained the Mishnah differently. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Rabbi Yochanan explained, the Mishnah of Rabbi Meir is not that the person said, I'm making a vow not to marry this woman because she has a bad father-in-law. And then he wants to remove it, and we tell him, yeah, you should be able to remove it because now the father-in-law is dead. No, they were telling him, Kfar Meis, he made the neder that he doesn't want to marry her because of her father, but they can remove it when they explain to him that when he made the neder, he was making a mistake. He thought the father-in-law was alive, but the father-in-law had already died, or Kfar Asa Tshuva Ka'amile. That's what they were telling him.
So that means the never takes effect in the first place.
That's right, because it was a real mistake.
And what happens in the case of the ferocious dog in the house and the dog dies? Does he need to absolve the neder, or does it absolve automatically?
Well, it sounds like the second explanation, that if the dog was dead at the time, it would sound like it was all a mistake.
Yeah, but that, if it's dead... after he makes the neder, right. The dog is already dead, so it's...
Right, but if the dog dies, it sounds like according to Rav Huna,
yeah,
he has to absolve it.
It doesn't automatically dissolve.
Not automatically. No. Yeah, question.
So if you use kesher mut avir at chatek, it's different language.
So then he said he'll marry once the father-in-law dies. That would be fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, he said it explicitly, for sure.
That's a clear matter.
Yeah. Masiv Rababa, Rababa challenged Rabbi Yochanan, who explained the Mishnah, that it was all a mistake because the father-in-law was already dead. We learned in a Mishnah later, Konam Sheni Nosa Liplonis. The guy says, by a neder, a vow, I'm not marrying so-and-so. Why? Kura, she's ugly. It turns out she's beautiful. Shora, not marrying her because she's black. Arei Levana, turns out she's white. You gotta be careful, right? Where it's being recorded to watch.
Obama gonna go crazy now.
Sarah, not marrying her because she is short. Areyaruka, turns out she's long. So then, Mutterba, he's allowed to marry her. Lo mipnei shekuura v'naseisna. Not because he had said he wasn't going to marry her because she's ugly and she had become beautiful. Or shchora, he had said he wasn't going to marry her because she was black. V'nasis levana, she had become white. Or Ktsara, that she was short, Vanasi Saruka, she had become long. Elisha Neder Tos, but the Neder was all a mistake. He thought she was ugly. She turns out to have been beautiful. So the whole thing was a mistake. So Bishmal and Ravuna Damar Nasa Katola Nidjo Bedavar. If you're going to say that our Mishnah is not that it was a mistake, but rather, when he says, I'm not marrying this woman because of her father, or I'm not walking into the house because of the dog, so that's basically really saying, I'm not walking into the dog. I'm not walking into that father-in-law. It's basically making it dependent on something. So then I understand, Tana Tola Nidra B'davar, we would have one Mishnah teaching us the halacha that certain terminologies are virtually a condition, a stipulation. And then Vitana, in the next Mishnah on Samach Vav, will tell us the law of Neder Tos, that if you made a Neder under mistaken assumptions, it's not a Neder. El Rabbi Yochanan is explaining our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir is saying, that it was a case when the dog was already dead when he made the Neder. So this case is a case of a mistake. So Rabbi Yochanan damar kvar meis, kvar asa tshuva, salam lila misni trezimni, neder tos. Why would I have to have two times of teaching us the same concept that a neder, which is all a mistake, is not a neder? Says the Gemara, Kasha, that's a good question. Next Mishnah, we are on Samach Hamad Beis, 65b, at the Mishnah. Oh, I'm Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said further, another law about how to remove an oath, how to remove a vow. Poschim lo min akosav sheba Torah. Again, the concept is this. Hashem in the Torah taught us that if a person makes a promise and he uses key words, the word shvua, the word Allah, the word neder, the word konam, karban, kones, that's a binding obligation of lo yachal devaro. He cannot remove his word. However, the sage or three people as a court can remove his words. How do they remove the words? So this chapter teaches us by revealing to him or by discovering together with him that he made a mistake, that he wasn't aware of everything. He wasn't thinking of everything. Had he been thinking of all the realities, he would never have got himself into this mess. So, can they tell him, had you realized that you're violating the pasuk, lo yachal devaro, would you have made the neder? Had you realized that Rabbi Nassan feels that when you make a neder, it's as if you built an altar, would you have made the neder? And he says, no, I wasn't thinking of that. I was angry. I made the neder. I wasn't thinking about God. That's already enough reason to remove the neder. He's believed when he says, I wasn't thinking of it, and we can remove the neder. So, Vodom Rabbi Meir said further, we can explore with our promiser that he made a mistake based on verses in Scripture. We can tell him, had you realized that when you made the neder, you were violating the mandate to not take revenge and to not bear a grudge, would you have made the neder? Or, had you realized when you made the neder that you were violating the law, don't hate your brother in your heart, would you have made the neder? Had you realized when you were making the neder that you were violating V'afli Re'acha Kamocha, or V'chaya Chicha Imach, let your brother live with you, Shuani, because he became poor and he needs help, would you have made the neder? So now that you've created this situation, you cannot give him support. Amar, he said, Ilo Isi Yodea Shukain, had I known that, Lo Isi Noder, I never would have made the neder. Harezeh Mutar, that's already enough to permit the neder. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Huna bar Rav Ketina l'Rabbanan. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Ketina, said to the Rabbanan, Neima, kol demiani lav olai nafil. I don't understand. How can you say to him, he said, I'm not going to give any benefit to Reuven. We say to him, but did you realize that by doing that, you're not going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of v'chayachi chayimach, because you won't be able to give charity to Reuven, and Reuven is poor. Why can't he say, what, anybody who's poor is my responsibility? Who am I to... Hey, let him say, call to me, Ani, level I not him. Not everybody who's poor, is it my responsibility to take care of him? Rather, let the court appoint a gabbait staka. And whatever obligation I have to give to help out this poor person with the community, I will do. And in that way, I'll fulfill the neder, because I won't be giving to him directly. I'll be giving to the community fund, and the community will give to him. Amar le, Sir Abba said, Rav Huna, Ani Omer, I say, Kol Anofel, Eno Nofel, Yide Gabay Tchila. I don't agree with you. When somebody becomes poor, it's not that first the community has to step in to try to help him out. Rather, if he becomes poor, first he goes to his relatives. And his relatives have the first responsibility to help him out. And therefore, if you made a neder, you know, you're angry at your cousin, you made a neder, your cousin can't get any benefit from you. So, did you realize that that's putting you in a difficult situation? And now that your cousin became poor, you're not going to be able to be the relative who helps him out. If he says, no, I didn't realize that, That's already grounds to remove the neder. Next Mishnah. Hoschin la'adam b'ksubas ishto. Another way to remove a neder is if a guy made a vow to divorce his wife, we tell him, did you realize you're going to have to pay out a ksuba? In fact, there was a story with a person. He made a neder not to get any benefit from his wife. Her ksuba was 400 dinar. Came before Rabbi Akiva. He said, you know what? You made a neder to divorce her. I'm sorry, you made a neder not to allow her to have any benefit from you. You have to divorce her. Or you can't get benefit from her. So you need to divorce her. So now you need to give her the 400 dinar. Amalo Rebbe, so he said, my teacher, Ches Meos Dinar Niniach Abba. My father only left us an inheritance of 800 dinar. Not al Achi Arba Meos. My brother got 400. Vani Arba Meos, and I only got 400. Lo Daya Shatitulim Masayim Vani Masayim. Let her take 200 and let me stay with 200. Amalo Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Akiva told him, Afilu Ata Mocher, Sei Aroshcha. Even if you need to sell the hair on your head, you got to do that. And Ata Nosin La Ksubasa, and give her a Ksuba. Amalosi said to him, Yilu Ayisio De Ashukain. If I would have known that the obligation of Ksuba is so strong, I would never have made the neder. Lo Yisi no der. Because now it's gonna wipe out all of my money. The Itir Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva said, okay, you don't have to get divorced. The neder's off. Now you can stay married.
How would you not have known?
That's hard. But I mean, he's met here now.
He knew the ketubah existed.
He knew the ksuba existed, but he thought, let's say, you know, when a person declares bankruptcy, you know, unfortunately nowadays, he's still allowed to keep something. He doesn't have to let go of every penny he has. But here he has to lose everything. He only has 400 dinar. He has to lose all of it. So he didn't realize that that's the nature.
He cannot just say, I didn't read the contract, which is what people try to argue. That's what he's saying.
For a neder, he could. For a neder, he could. To remove a neder, he didn't read the contract. He didn't think of all of the contract. Ask the Gemara, Metatlin im Shtabdu l'ksuba. What do you mean he has to take off the hair of his head? Movables, are they obligated for a ksuba? Amar Abaye Abaye said, Karka Shava Ches Meos Dinar. His father had left him land worth 800 dinar. Ayva Katani Se Arosha, but it says the hair on his head. Say Arosha Metaltlihu. The hair on his head is movables. This is what he meant. Afilu Ata Mocher. Say Aroshcha. Even if you were to sell this hair of your head in order to have what to eat, still from the land that you have to give to the ksuba. Shamit Minas, what do we see from here? That when a person owes money, ain't misadim lebal chov. We don't leave him with a little bit of assets to take care of himself. So Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak said, oh, there's maybe a general person who owes money. We do leave him with some money for himself. But lo marshein makar and shtar ksuba. When it comes to the ksuba, we will not tear the ksuba and say that it is paid until it is fully paid. So even if we left him with a little bit, but the ksuba is still there. She comes with the ksuba and she collects.
Non-movable.
Yeah. Maybe it gets paid with the non-movables, but it has to get
even
paid.
The hair on his head.
Even if he has to cut the hair on his head in order to have food to eat, he's still obligated to be paying off the ksuba.